Welcome back to the John Krasinski Show. This is our Timberwolves and NBA show at TalkNorth.com. Thank you for listening to TalkNorth.com. And thank you to our sponsors, TSR Injury Law, Manscaped, and All Energy Solar. Let's start with the Ben Simmons rumors. And what time are you going to the airport to greet him?
Yeah, Jim, it's been a really interesting last, I don't know, maybe week or 8 or 9 days in the Ben Simmons saga. I will say that given the developments and given how things are playing out, I think the Timberwolves are in stronger position today than they were even a couple of weeks ago in this whole situation, because what we saw kind of come to the forefront last week was that Ben Simmons has made it clear to the Philadelphia 76ers that he is not coming to training camp. If he is not traded, and you know, some of the people in Philadelphia have said, well, you know, this has been known for a while behind the scenes, and that's true. Like Daryl Morey and the Philadelphia 76ers had known that information much earlier than when it was made public by the Philadelphia Inquirer last week. But to me, the real key here is that the information has now become public. And that is a very big sign to me that the Ben Simmons camp is going to start to really ratchet the temperature up on the Philadelphia 76ers, who so far have not gotten really close to anything in terms of a Ben Simmons trade. I think there's some frustration in that camp about the lack of progress. And I think they are trying to make it as clear as possible that coming back to the 76ers is not an outcome that they are going to go for. They don't even want to do the Jimmy Butler thing where they start the season and he still makes, you know, a mess of things and he has to get himself out of there. They don't want to do that. James Harden did the same thing in Houston. Like, they are trying to put as much pressure right now on the 76ers to get something done. And so that leads me to believe that I think that my anticipation is that Ben Simmons will be on the 76ers roster when training camp starts. I don't think he will show up for training camp. But then before the season begins, I think he will be traded. Where to? I still think that the Timberwolves and maybe Toronto might be two of the strongest competitors for him right now. And so it all matters about what that asking price comes to and how creative these teams can be. But I really do like the Timberwolves' position in this now, especially since Ben Simmons is now starting to do what everyone in Wolvesland hoped that he would do and really start to turn the screws on Daryl Morey.
Couple programming notes. We are running a bunch of variety shows and tons of outdoor content at TalkNorth.com. If you have a pet, I recommend, especially a dog, Raising Your Paws, sponsored by Nutrisource. Great show for pet owners. Also, want to note, if you're a basketball fan, Rebecca Brunson was my last guest on the Blocked and Muted show. That's my personal show on the network. And Tuesday, September 14th, we will have the Cheryl Reeve show live at the downtown Pizzeria Luce. Pizza Luce, right, you know where it is. Everybody knows where it is. Come out and listen to the Cheryl Reeve show. Meet everybody. Cheryl's great at those things. And the Lynx are entering a great stretch run here for the WNBA and have positioned themselves to be a playoff force. Check that out if you get a chance. So, John, my thing about the Simmons deal has been I just have trouble figuring out what the Timberwolves can offer that the 76ers would accept, what the Timberwolves would offer that the 76ers would accept, because there, you know, there's this push-pull thing, whereas, yeah, you would want Ben Simmons in a vacuum, but if you have to give up your key pieces to get Ben Simmons, are you ahead of the game?
Yeah, that is the big thing here, Jim, is like the Timberwolves, I believe the Timberwolves are the team in the league right now that most wants Ben Simmons. I think that the Ben Simmons market across the league is pretty dry right now. There's a few other teams that are sniffing around, but it is not the feeding frenzy that I think that Daryl Morey was hoping to have when it became known that Ben Simmons was going to be moved. There is not this major bidding war that has commenced. That helps the Wolves, obviously, But the big problem is, as much as they want Ben Simmons, and they, as much as they believe that he would be a perfect fit for what they are doing, they still don't have like the perfect pieces to match up for Philadelphia to want, because the 76ers want to win a championship. Like, that's what they believe that they are in the mode of right now, with Joel Embiid at the height of his powers, in the MVP conversation, with some veterans around him. They think that they should be going for titles. So draft picks don't necessarily sway them all that much. You know, I think like if they really wanted to sort of nail something down, you could put Anthony Edwards into an offer, and that would probably really sway the Sixers. But the Timberwolves aren't going to do that. They don't want to move Anthony Edwards. They wouldn't trade Edwards for Simmons straight up right now. Like, that's how highly they believe in Edwards. With Karl Anthony Towns, even if they wanted to trade Cat, which they do not, he's the other untouchable. The Sixers already have Joel Embiid. Like, that doesn't work out for them. Even if Towns can shoot it and stuff, I don't think that an Embiid-Towns pairing is exactly what they want either. They obviously don't get along very well either. So that would bring all sorts of problems into it. So now you're looking at some sort of combination of, you know, D'Angelo Russell, Malik Beasley, Jaden McDaniels, and picks. And, you know, then you can throw in Patrick Beverley, you can throw in Torian Prince for salary cap or for salary filler to make the salaries match up. But the main cogs are either, you know, a Russell led package, which so far it seems like the 76ers are very lukewarm on. And I don't think that Gerson Rosas wants to trade D'Angelo Russell either, or it's maybe a Malik Beasley, Jaden McDaniels package, and then some other picks. What the Timberwolves could say, and maybe what Philadelphia could eventually rationalize as a good move to make, is that if you get some number of unprotected Timberwolves first round draft picks, those are like gold in the NBA. It's not, you know, even like a Toronto Raptors unprotected first round pick. A Timberwolves unprotected pick is really, really valuable, because even if they got Simmons, there would be plenty of people that believe that everything would go wrong anyway, and those picks would turn out to be great. So Daryl Morey could use those picks if a Damian Lillard, if a Bradley Beal ever finally becomes available. And that is the other component of this, Jim, that I think works in the Timberwolves' favor right now, or in any other team's favor that wants to get Ben Simmons. Daryl Morey is not going to get that trade demand from Damian Lillard that he wants right now. That's going to take some time. And maybe if Portland starts the season really flat and it doesn't work out, maybe eventually, say January or February, Lillard does say, okay, you have to move me, I got to get out of here. And that puts the 76ers in better position. But it's not coming before training camp starts. It's not coming before the season starts. And so now the big question that Daryl Morey has to think of is, will some sort of concoction led by Timberwolves unprotected draft picks give him a better chance of getting Damian Lillard, or will Ben Simmons give him a better chance of getting Damian Lillard? I would argue that the Timberwolves picks would be more attractive to Portland in that scenario than Ben Simmons would. And so maybe that's eventually what helps get it over the top. But there is a huge gulf between what the 76ers want and what the Timberwolves are able to pay. And that gulf has to be closed by how uncomfortable Ben Simmons makes things and how uncomfortable Joel Embiid makes things in Philadelphia over the next 3 or 4 weeks.
Interesting. Hey, if you want to listen to this program or the network, we recommend subscribing at your favorite podcast app. That is the easiest way to listen. It's free. It's simple. You can also always go to talknorth.com or follow us at follow us on Twitter at TalkNorthPod and see the shows as they are released. Thanks again to our producer, Brandon Morton. We do want to thank our sponsors, TSR Injury Law, been sponsoring us a long time. 612 TSR Time. 612 TSR Time. There's still a lot of crazy drivers out there. There's still a lot of motorcyclists getting hurt. There are all kinds of injuries that are inflicted upon people, and they need representation. They need good representation, reputable representation, and representation that will win the case for you. That's TSR Time. That's 612 TSR Time. TSR Injury Law. You can also go to TSRinjurylaw.com or check out the operation. They will not charge you unless they win your case. They will not charge you unless they win your case. If you're injured, call 612 TSR Time. It's just that simple. That's all you need to remember. Now let's hear John Krasinski with his comedic takes on Manscaped, manscaped.com.
That's right. We got new copy for you, everyone. So ready for this. Yes. Autumn is in the air. Autumn is in the air. The pumpkins are in the patch, and our friends at Manscaped are here to make sure you don't carve your pants pumpkins when you're grooming, if you know what I'm saying. Make sure you're keeping things fresh this fall with the leaders in male grooming and their brand new fourth generation performance package. Boys, get ready for a cuffing season like no other. Ready to take the leap into fall with Manscaped? Join 2 million men worldwide using Manscaped by going to manscaped.com for 20% off and free shipping with the code ATHLETIC. It's time to bundle up with Manscaped Performance Package 4.0. Inside this package, you'll find their Lawnmower 4.0 trimmer, the Weed Whacker ear and nose hair trimmer, Crop Preserver ball deodorant, Crop Reviver toner, Performance Boxer briefs, and a travel bag to hold your goodies. First off, the new Performance Package 4.0 includes the Lawnmower 4.0. If you're looking to cozy up this fall, this trimmer is essential. The fourth generation trimmer features a cutting edge ceramic blade to reduce grooming accidents thanks to the advanced skin-safe technology. It also gives you the ability to turn on the 4000K LED spotlight on and off when needed for a more precise shave. Plus, it's waterproof. Take it into the shower with you, take it swimming with you, do whatever you have to do. And you can seal the deal with Manscaped's liquid formulations, the Crop Preserver ball deodorant. Everyone knows pumpkin spice lattes and ball deodorant go hand in hand. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code ATHLETIC at manscaped.com. That's 20% off and free shipping with the code ATHLETIC at manscaped.com.
I appreciate Manscaped sponsoring the program, but I worry that one of those things you said will get us sued by Starbucks.
Pumpkin spice lattes, baby. Gotta love it. Oh my God. They go hand in hand.
We also want to thank one of our newest sponsors at the network, All Energy Solar. Utility costs are rising every year, and it's unnecessarily costing you money, but it doesn't have to be that way with a new system from All Energy Solar. Even if you have to take out a loan to finance your installation, you'll still save money in the long run. The loan payment will likely be less than what you would pay for electricity every month, and it's a locked-in price that won't change. So start saving and make the switch to All Energy Solar. Book your appointment today at allenergysolar.com. All right, let's get into some more mundane Timberwolves news. Not that anything you hear on this show is ever mundane, especially not John reading Manscaped copy. But let's get into what's going on with the Jared Vanderbilt negotiations.
Yeah, so they're still kind of at a bit of a standstill here, Jim. You know, right now, basically what has happened is Jared Vanderbilt is a restricted free agent. That means that the Timberwolves have the right to match any offer from another team. But unfortunately for Jared Vanderbilt, there are no other offers that have come in for him. He does not have the leverage to force the Wolves to pay a little bit more than they would like to retain his services. Now, as of right now, without Ben Simmons, right now, I mean, Jared Vanderbilt could be the starting power forward. Maybe you start Jaden McDaniels. Maybe you start Jared Vanderbilt. Who knows? But he factors in, you know, in a major way into what they need. They need defense. They need rebounding. They need versatility. They need a guy who can run the floor. Jared Vanderbilt does all of those things. And so he has been hoping to get a multi-year deal with at a number that I think that he feels is commensurate with what is going to be expected of him to contribute. The Timberwolves have him sort of backed into a corner. He has no other options right now. He can't kind of get out to get somewhere else. The music is stopping pretty quickly on the musical chairs. And so I think they're really trying to get him at an even lower number that, you know, obviously with how cramped they are with the salary cap and the luxury tax, they want to keep that number as low as possible. And so they're kind of in a staring contest, you know, as training camp is approaching. I think that in the end, it seems like Vanderbilt has really two options: to take kind of the lower offer that he's getting from a multi-year deal from the Timberwolves right now, or sign a qualifying offer and then ride out this next year. And it's a one-year deal, and then he can be an unrestricted free agent next summer. So you can try, you know, if you think you're going to play a big role, maybe you bet on yourself a little bit and you sign that 1 year deal and you figure you're going to contribute a lot. You're going to maybe even get some starts. You're going to play some heavy minutes and you can really establish a little bit more value for yourself going into that open market. It's a little bit easier said than done, especially for a player like him who has dealt with foot injuries in his career, maybe wants a little bit more security. But right now, I think it's been a little contentious. It's been a little bit strained, and they're trying to work through the final push in these negotiations to get something done. Because, like I said, I think that the team is going to be meeting in Miami this week to do some kind of informal team workouts to get ready for training camp. And I would think that he would want to have something done before that if he wants to participate in those, in case he gets injured and something bad happens. So I got to think this is a big week for those negotiations. And one way or another, I expect him to be here. It's just a matter of what those terms look like. And if Vanderbilt is happy about it, or if he comes back a little, you know, huffing and puffing and disgruntled about, you know, where he's stuck at in terms of a salary structure.
So I think you told me before we started the show that Timberwolves players are planning on gathering in Miami. What can you tell us about that?
Yeah, so like I think Karl Anthony Towns and D'Angelo Russell, I think from what I understand, sort of organized these informal team workouts. They've done it at the Bahamas before. They've done it in other places. But Miami is kind of the home base for this one. And so I think most of, if not all of the team is expected to be there. And they're going to just kind of, you see teams do this all around the league. They get into a centralized location. They go through workouts and they have some fun with it. They have some team bonding and things like that. And it just kind of lays the groundwork for training camp, which is shockingly only like 3 weeks away, Jim. So, wow. Yeah, this is coming up very, very quickly. And so I think that you will see them in Miami. You'll see them working out and doing those things. And then they will kind of really gradually come up to the Twin Cities and start gaining workouts here locally in the next couple of weeks after that, just to be ready for training camp. They all know that this is a major, season for them. Like it's big for the future of Karl Anthony Towns. It's big for the future of Gerson Rosas, of Chris Finch, of so many people that are involved in this, that I think there is, you know, real determination to kind of hit the ground running here. A lot of guys came into of how quickly the turnaround was. Everyone's ready for it this year. And so, you know, this is just kind of a nice little, you know, first step to get prepared, because yeah, it's right around the corner. It's going to be here before we know it.
Tell us about the new assistant coaches and the new staff overall.
Yeah. So they announced some new staff additions to Chris Finch's staff. Remember Joseph Blair, who was going to be leading the defense for them, left right before Vegas Summer League for a position on the Washington Wizards staff. And so it's been a little bit of a process for them to find people who come in. Because let's face it, look, part of the reason that it might be a little bit more challenging is that everyone knows that this is a kind of a make or break season for the Timberwolves. You have new ownership coming in. You have dealt with losing for the last couple of years. There could be a quick turnover if things go south. And I think that there are coaches out there who are a little nervous about jumping onto a situation like this. To their credit, I think they ended up with some pretty good additions to their roster. Namely, the headliner is Elston Turner. He is a veteran assistant coach who has kind of really been around the league for a long time, has a really good reputation, and like kind of longer term Wolves fans will recognize that name, because in 2009, he was one of three finalists for the head coaching job with Kurt Rambis and Mark Jackson. And reported at the time was it was Kurt Rambis number one, Mark Jackson number two, Elston Turner number three in that final list and the way they finished it. But what I was told at the time was that Elston Turner, who then was kind of more of a younger up and coming coach, was really performed well in the interview process, was really highly thought of, and it just didn't work out. They liked Rambis better. We all know how that turned out for everyone involved. But now he's had a lot of experience. He's coached with the Rockets, so he has connections to Rosas there. He's coached with Sacramento, Memphis, and Portland. So he's going to come in, and he's, I think, going to assume more of that defensive coordinator position for Chris Finch again. And so we'll see kind of where his philosophies deviate from where Joseph Blair was and all of those things. But I think that was a really, really good hire. Another notable name, Ashley McGee, her title is Video Player Development Associate. And so she actually has been doing video work for the Lynx for a couple of seasons and has really impressed the Lynx. And I know that in her interviews with the Timberwolves, she really was impressive to them as well. And so they wanted to get her in here. She's going to continue to work with the Lynx and the Wolves. And so she's going to hold positions on both staffs, which is really kind of interesting as well. So they also added a couple of, you know, player development guys and other video coordinators and things like that. But those are the two names that kind of really stuck out to me when I was looking at the list of additions that were put out last week.
Last question for today. How important are NBA assistant coaches? Because I think, you know, the NFL has taught us to blame everything that goes wrong with an offense or a defense on the coordinator. And I know from covering Major League Baseball over the years, a lot of coaches are just, they're just worker bees. They really don't have any effect on the quality of the product. They just are doing the work that needs to be done behind the scenes. Where do NBA assistant coaches fall in that hierarchy?
Yeah, it's certainly different from the NFL in terms of, you know, you have these, you know, the offense coordinator, the defensive coordinator in the NFL have so much generally autonomy on what goes on. Now, clearly Zimmer is the defensive coordinator for the Vikings. I mean, he's calling the plays, even though he did tell Mark Craig he might kind of relinquish some of those duties. He still sets the tone there. But offensively, Clint Kubiak, Gary Kubiak, Kevin Stefanski, on and on and on, North Turner, they all have had, you know, a really big leadership point. I think in the Chris Finch coaching ecosystem, certainly Chris Finch is like the main voice, but he does skew a little bit more on the offensive end of the court. And so, you know, he really has his fingerprints on what they do offensively, on their philosophies, on their scheme, on you know, obviously drawing up the plays and the huddles and things like that. Whereas with the defense, I do think he wants a little bit more of an individual voice there that really kind of quarterbacks that side of things. But also, Chris has made it clear that, look, he's not going to just abdicate all the responsibility to whether it was Joseph Blair, whether it was David Vanterpool, whether it's now Elston Turner. At the end of the day, everyone on that court is going to be looking for Chris Finch for the final kind of instruction and validation and say in what they do. But all these assistants are very important in terms of, you know, setting the environment, of holding players accountable. Like, generally, these assistants kind of, you know, each will specialize and work with two or three guys on the roster. And like, they will have their guys that they work with. They run through shooting drills. They go through kind of the video with them and things like that. And so you try to give them individualized attention as much as you can. And it's all about kind of more in terms of setting a tone, setting a work ethic, holding players accountable, making sure everyone is on top of things and keeping the environment light when it's tense. And then also like trying to, really say, okay, it's time to get to work when maybe guys are getting a little too loose. So they play a big role in the overall vibe and in the day-to-day kind of just drill work and points of that nature. But then when it comes to overall kind of game strategy, you know, in-game adjustments and things like that, that's where Chris Finch really kind of holds the most sway.
Good stuff from John. You can also hear John on the Viking Update Show, where John and I offer writer's view of the Vikings and the NFL. We've both been covering the Vikings for many years. And we also have Jeff Diamond's Vikings and NFL Insider for the executive view of the NFL and the Vikings. Thanks for listening to TalkNorth.com. Thanks again to Brandon Morton. We'll be back next week as the Simmons rumors continue to percolate.